You know, the other thing to drop a Harvard name, you know, a few years ago I was at some event, I think it was for the Academy of American Poets.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's a big deal. That's the,
yeah, it's a good
the gold standard thing, where it's the reigning.
It's a great organization.
Poets, right?
It was a great organization, and I have supported it from time to time financially. I've given them contributions mm-hmm. because I sort of feel like when things are tough, the first thing that every culture would sensibly throw overboard, I'm being sarcastic here, but the first thing that gets thrown overboard is the poets.
Yeah.
Because it's like, we sort of, a lot of people live without poetry when times are good. So when times are bad, they really feel like they don't need it. They're wrong, but mm-hmm. that's sort of the, you know, the sense of, yeah. I think it's a great organization. And George Plimpton was there. It was probably like a 7 o'clock event, and George Plimpton was there, and he was dressed in a tuxedo, and he was clearly, you know, he wasn't dressed for this event, he was clearly dressed for the next event, or maybe the third event of the night. But he was there, and he just read a poem and said a few words, and they moved on. And I thought, well, now that life actually looks kind of enjoyable. Like, George Plimpton is, you know, experiencing all these great, you know, experiencing a lot of people and a lot of great cultural institutions, and he's hearing interesting things, and he's part of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of, to me, that I thought that looked like, you know, looked like fun. I think mm-hmm. Plimpton's life was fun for a lot of other reasons, too. I mean, I think he kind of did what most people, you know, would want to do. But I think, to some extent, that life is still possible in New York. Not as much in L.A., because L.A. is such an industrial town, as we discussed. I mean, you're mm-hmm. cranking out this product. People go to bed early. They're like farmers. They get up early. You know, and it's... I think contrary to the cliches about LA being laid back and New York being so high strung and wired, I think the people in New York are way more relaxed than people mm-hmm. in LA.
LA has a sybaritic image too, that people are indulging in all kinds of sensual pleasures 24/7.
I think to me, like, a lot of the drugs that I saw being done or heard tell of being done were all sort of like steroids. It was all like performance enhancing drugs. It was sort of like, well, we could do a really good job writing this movie if we all got coked up, you know. But it wasn't like they were sitting around, you know, doing mushrooms or something to try to see what, you know, the color blue sounds like or something like that. I don't think it was sybaritic. I think it's a very, very hardworking culture out there. There's got to be room. I like that New York still allows some of us to be dilettantes in a way. I mean, dilettantism has been really, I feel, unfairly maligned. It's nice to not necessarily be great at one thing, to be like a specialist, but actually to try to dabble in a lot of things, and maybe some things you're better at than others, you know. But
been my motto.
I mean, it's great. But British careers are like that. You know, people in England, you know, they, you know, there's, you know, a guy like Michael Frayn. Now, Michael Frayn is somebody who's probably great at just about everything, but he, you know, you think of like the Beyond the Fringe guys who, you know, mm-hmm. acted and directed and, you know, worked in all different media, and there wasn't necessarily a hierarchy of which medium was better than the other. It's sort of like, well, you know, it's an interesting job, I'll show up for it. And I think it's that kind of career is, you know, it's appealing. And I think it is more, a little bit more possible here. Although, you know, this is my feeling.
Mm-hmm.